Erev Tov. Tonight's shiur is in a sense going to wrap up a number of the ideas that we spoke about during the course of the last few weeks. We talked about the Sod HaTzimtzum, we talked about that first Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva, that Schot V'Kalus Rosh Margilin Es HaAdam Le'erva Masros Siag L'Osha Siag L'Chochma Shtika. We learned, of course, we spent quite a bit of time talking about the Mishnah of Choviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. Beloved is man who's created in the image of God. And of course, we talked at great length about what the meaning of Tzelem Elokim is. And I want to sort of tie it all together. And I want to tie it together through a shiur that I heard many years ago. I was probably about 30, 35 years ago from the Chov. And it was a shiur that left a great impression on me. The shiur is printed in this Sefer Yemei Zikaron as the shiurim of Rav Soloveitchik. This is a nice beat up copy. I'm very, very proud of this beat up copy. So this was, of course, since it was a shiur that I heard, so it made a much greater impression on me. But more than that, I'm going to use the shiur in a way that the Rav never used it. The Rav didn't talk about Pirkei Avos. The Rav was giving a shiur in Hilchos Brachos, and we'll tell you the significant parts of the shiur that I am going to use in order to explain a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, and we will understand the Mishnayot of Rabbi Akiva that we've been learning a bit better. The Rav was talking about brachos. Anshei Knesset HaGedolah are the ones who established the idea that you have to say Baruch Atah Hashem, take a glass of water, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehi Yavod Varo. Here was a Yortzeit shiur that the Rav said. There were about 3,000 people are there. There are many Rabbanim. The Rav always used to say that he's a Malamed. He's a Malamed. He's a teacher. And he would start the shiur as a Malamed would. He started by asking a question. And the question that he asked is, "Nu, so tell me, what does the word Baruch mean?" 3,000 people who are there, everybody is afraid to open up their mouths because they know there's something cooking in the Rav's mind, and they don't want to be in the line of fire. But the Rav is insistent he's not going to go ahead with the shiur until somebody can tell him what's the meaning of the word Baruch. So there was one fellow, a Rav, who decided he's going to go al kiddush Hashem. He is going to sacrifice himself, and he says, "Rebbe, Baruch means bless." And of course, everybody's waiting for the for what's going to come, and it comes. Bless? What do you mean bless? Me, little, small, infinitesimal human being? I bless God. What do I bless God? What is like, a little yingala, I bless him. What do you mean bless? And he says, "I know that the Rabbinical Council of America just published a new siddur, and every time it says Baruch in your siddur, it says bless." What does it mean? So the Rav said, and that's in fact the Rishonim. The Rishonim say that the word bracha means ribui v'tosefet. Ribui means to make something greater. Tosefet means to add. Ribui v'tosefet. That's what it means. There are a number of places in Torah and in Nevi'im as well where somebody brings a gift and the gift is called bracha. Because a gift means I am adding something to what is yours. You have more now. That's what the word bracha really means. Then, of course, the question becomes, the question becomes, in what way do we add or expand the Rabbeinu Shalom? To which the Rav said the following. He said that for once in history, the Rabbeinu Shalom came down onto the face of this earth when he descended from the heavens to the top of Mount Sinai, and he revealed himself to his people. He gave them the Aseres HaDivros, and then it says, "B'mishol Hayovel," when you hear the sound of the shofar, man, animal, hemo yalu bahar, they can go on to the mountain, because the sound of the shofar means that the divine presence is rising heavenward again. And the moment the divine presence departs from the mountain, there is no longer any sanctity on Mount Sinai. But more than that, the Rav said, from the moment that the Rabbeinu Shalom is ascended heavenward, from that moment on until the end of history, he is not going to reveal himself again in this world. To whom falls the task of revealing God in this world? From that moment on and further, it becomes the task of Klal Yisrael. Our job is to reveal the Rabbeinu Shalom's presence in this world. How do I reveal the Rabbeinu Shalom's presence? I take a glass of water in my hand and I say, Baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you, Rabbeinu Shalom, King of the world, King of the universe. Shehakol nihyobet varo, everything came to pass through his word. I am saying that in this glass, God is here. I reveal his presence. Every bracha, an apple, an orange, it doesn't make a difference. Who knows how many hundreds of thousands of brachas are said every day. Every bracha is ribui v'tosefes. It adds to the presence of God in the world. On the basis of this idea in the of the Rav, I once explained a Rashi in Shir HaShirim, a mysterious Rashi in Shir HaShirim. And I tell you, I was looking today to be able to quote a Rashi, because today was the Yahrzeit of Rashi. Chof Tes Tanus, Erev Rosh Chodesh Av. Rashi was born either in 1040 or 1041, and he died in 1105, which means that last year was 900 years since the Yahrzeit of Rashi. It's now 901 years. So I wanted to find an opportunity to say a Rashi. So on the basis of this idea of the Rav, that year, 35 years ago, I wanted to explain a Rashi. The Rashi says the following, a beautiful pasuk. Se'ena ure'ena b'not Zion, go out and see, you daughters of Zion. Ba'melech Shlomo, go out and see King Shlomo. What should you look at? Ba'toro she'itcho lo'imo, the crown that his mother gave him. B'yom chatunato, the day of his wedding. U'b'yom simchat libo, the day of his, of the joy of his heart. Now you have to understand that in Shir HaShirim, when it says Ha'melech Shlomo, you know what it means? It means the Rabbeinu Shalom, Melech Shahashalom Shalom, that all peace is his. So who is this mother? Who is the mother of God who is putting the crown upon his head on the day of his chasana? What does the pasuk mean? So Rashi brings the following. Omer Rav Nechunya. Rav Nechunya said, Shol Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi et Rav Elozer Rav Yossi. Rav Shimon ben Yochoi, the Chashbi. Rav Shimon ben Yochoi asked Rabbi Elozer Rav Yossi, you must have heard from your father. Rav Yossi was a man who, a Tana who had a great understanding of Agada. You must have heard something from your father. What's this crown that his mother gave him? Amalosa Rav Elazar said in the name of his father, Rav Yossi. Marshal Lamela Shahita Lo Bat Yechida, a parable was told of a king who had an only daughter. He loved her very, very much. And as a result of that great love,
Lo zoz mechavavo achep kora, he called her biti, my daughter. Shenema, pasuk in Tehillim, shimi bat uri, listen to me, hear, my daughter, and see. Lo zoz mechavavo, the love became greater. Ad shekara'o achoti, until he called her my sister. Shenema, as it says, pitchi li achoti rayati, a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, open up the door for me, my sister, my bride. Lo zoz mechavavo. He didn't move from his love, it intensified. Ad shekara'o, until he called her imi, my mother. Shenema, a pasuk in Yeshayahu, hakshivu elai ami, listen to me, my people, ule umi, and my nation, elai ha'azinu, hearken unto me. Le umi is written without a vav between the aleph and the mem. So Rav Yosef said, you know, it can be read as imi, listen to me, my mother. Ule imi ksiv. The end of what Rav Elazar said in the name of his father, Rav Yossi. Omad, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, unishako al rosho. Rav Shimon ben Yochai comes over and he kisses Rav Elazar. He kisses him on the head. Hasn't the mystery deepened? What did Rav Yossi explain in this pasuk? The pasuk is talking about the mother of Shlomo, that he means the mother of God, I'm afraid to say it, you know, it doesn't sound too good, puts a crown on God's head, B'yom Chatunato. B'yom Chatunato, of course, is the day of Maimed Har Sinai. The chasana between Claudius and the Revention took place at Har Sinai. So I want to explain the following. You know what Rabbi Yossi is saying in the name of his father, Rabbi Yossi? There were three distinct steps in the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. Step number one is when Klal Yisrael is bat, the child that has to be taken care of and provided for by the Rabbeinu Shlomo. You know when that was? That was the period of slavery in Egypt. The bat, the daughter, was completely dependent on the tata. When the Rebbeinu brings the Jewish people to Sinai, and he comes down from the mountain, and they're standing around the mountain, he is entering into an eternal covenant. It's no longer the tachtahu. A covenant is entered into between equals. Now the Rebbeinu sees his relationship with Klal Yisrael, brother and sister, achoti. The moment the Rabbeinu Shlomo ascends heavenward, B'yom Chatunato, B'yom Simchat Libo, and who is entrusted with the task of revealing the Rabbeinu Shlomo's divine presence in the world? Klal Yisrael. So now who is ascendant in the relationship? Who is, so to speak, kiviyachol, dependent on whom? The Rabbeinu Shlomo is now dependent on Klal Yisrael. I'm not going to reveal myself on the face of this earth until the end of time. You're going to do it. That's what Rav Elazar Rav Yossi was saying. The three distinct periods, the relationship of a father to a daughter, brother and sister, and then ultimately mother, and so to speak, the Rabbeinu Shlomo is the child. And we're going to do that job until the end of time. And Jews are going to go to their death saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We have sanctified his name throughout all of time. So that's the meaning of a bracha. I say Baruch, I'm saying that the Rabbeinu Shlomo is in this glass of water, he's in this apple. Here we see him. There's also something very fascinating about this bracha. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nihiyah B'Dvaro. Hakol Nihiyah B'Dvaro. There's something grammatically problematic with this bracha, and you can even see it even more sharply delineated in all the Birchas HaMitzvahs. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvosav V'Tzivanu. There's a grammatic problem.
The grammatic problem is the following. I start a bracha, I say, Baruch Ato, you. I'm speaking directly to you. How should I end the bracha? Baruch Ato, Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shakol, everything came into being, Hakol Nihyah, everything came into being, Bidvorecha! Your words, I'm talking to you! And all of a sudden we switch into third person, Shakol Nihyah, Bidvaro, His word! Baruch Ato, Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu. You know what proper grammar would have been? Baruch, blessed are you, God. Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosecha. You sanctified us with your command. V'tzivitanu, and you commanded us to do such and such. What happens over here? Why is this switch from second person to third person? This question has already been dealt with by the Rishonim, and basically I believe it's the Rashba that expresses the following idea. The halacha is, for a bracha to be valid, it has to have Shem and Malchus. The name of God, Yudke Vavke, Hashem, and it also needs Malchus. You have to say Melech HaOlam. What happens during a bracha is the following. Jews start saying, oh, you know, very familiar. Baruch Atah, well, you know, Baruch Atah. Hashem, blessed are you, God, Elokeinu, our God, Melech HaOlam, King of the whole universe. Jew gets a chachap gam kap, Melech HaOlam. That's what I'm talking to. And in a sense, he is taken back by the awesomeness of God, and he can no longer continue to speak to him in second person. He has to switch to third person. It is, so to speak, he has to distance himself from this awesome power that is called the Rabbeinu Shalom. What's the purpose of a bracha? The Gemara says the following. In the Sechta Brachos, the Gemara says the following. One pasuk says, Lahashem ha'aretz u'malo'a. To God is the earth and all that is in it. But there's another pasuk. There's a pasuk in Hallel that says, Hashamayim shamayim l'Hashem, the heaven belongs to God, v'ha'aretz natan livnei adam, and he gave the earth to man. Alright? Contradiction. One pasuk says, l'Hashem ha'aretz u'malo'a, and the other pasuk says, v'ha'aretz natan livnei adam, he gave it all to us. So the Gemara's answer is, kan kodem bracha, kan li'acha bracha. The pasuk of Lashem Haaretz Umalah, the world belongs to God. That's before a Jew says a bracha. It all belongs to him. It's holy. Anybody, Gemara says, anybody who benefits from this world without making a bracha, gozeles HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is stealing from the Rabbeinu Shlomo. It's not yours. If you want to have it, there's a way that you can have it. What is it that permits you to enjoy this world? You say a bracha. Okay, in a sense, the bracha is, I'm redeeming it. It's holy, and now I have the right to use it, to benefit from it, because I said a bracha. So therefore, Lashem Haaretz Umalava is before the bracha. Haaretz Natan L'Nei Adam, God gave it to man. That's after the bracha is said. So here we have already the idea of what bracha accomplishes. Here the Rav asks the great question that catapults him into the rest of the shiur. But wait a minute, what about me? I enjoy everything that the Rishon has given me. I have a mind, I have an intellect, I have a neshama, I have a body, the whole totality of human personality. How do I benefit from that? How do I have the right to use and enjoy everything that I am? We have awesome powers. A human being is an exceptional piece of mechanism. So the fact is, it's Akasha. Yom Kippur in the morning, Erev Yom Kippur in the morning, a Jew either takes a tarnigo and shlugs kaparis, or he takes money and he says a pasuk, Vayomer Choneinu
Upidaehu, redeem him. Redeem man, midedet shachas, from his going down into the grave. Matsasi kofe, you have found, I have found a way to redeem man. Man can also be redeemed from hegdish. Until we are redeemed, we are holy, we belong to God, and I can't use myself. How do you redeem that which is holy? If this shtender is holy, so the fact is, it's a fascinating halacha. The shtender, I think, cost me 25 shekel. My private property. I bought it from a neighbor of mine. 25 shekel. I bought two of them, two for 50. Alright? So here it is, I have this shtender. If I made this shtender holy, it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, I don't have to pay 25 shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. There's a halacha, hegdish shove mona. If you have hegdish that's worth $100, you pay one pruta, and you redeem it from its holiness. So the Rav says the following: if the Bnei Shalom makes certain basic demands of man, and specifically the Jew, 3 pennies, 3 coins in the divine fountain. The Rosh has 3 coins. And all of these 3 are the way in which the Rabbeinu Shlalem conducts himself in this world. The way he conducts himself, this is how he expects us to conduct ourselves. That was the whole idea that we were expressing when we talked about Rabbi Akiva's statement, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tselem, man is created in the image of God. That means, Mahu Af Ata. Just like what the Rabbeinu Shalom is, so I'm supposed to be. So he says the Rabbeinu Shalom wants of man to conduct himself in 3 ways. Each one the Rav calls a pruta. And the first one is one that we've talked about a number of times over the last few weeks. The Rabbeinu Shalom, as we said, in order to bring this world into being, the Balei HaKabbalah say it, the Arizal, the Balatanya, in order to bring the world into being, he practiced tzimtzum. He withdrew. He contracted. Because the whole world is full with him. How did he bring the world into being? In a sense, by contracting, by shrinking himself, by removing himself. Not permitting himself to go beyond certain borders that he had created for himself. We said that the Medrash in Sefer Shmos, when the Gemara tells Moshe Rabbeinu, but also the Mikdash, they should make for me a holy place, v'shakanti v'tochem, and I will dwell in their midst, and nivhal Moshe. Moshe became confused, v'nirtal achorev, and he was taken aback. Rabbeinu Shem, hinei ha-shamayim, u'shmei ha-shamayim, lo yechal galucha, above the heavens cannot contain you. How will this little house that we build contain you? To which the Rabbeinu Shem responded and said, Lo kamo sha'atosov, we're not the way you think, but the way I think. Give me 20 krushim in Safon, 20 krushim in Durham, 8 krushim v'marav v'niyode, then I come down u'mitzamtzein shchinati, and I contain my divine presence into that space. We also said the great Rashi in Shir Hashirim, where Rashi talks about the hedge of roses, Sugah, Rosh Hashanah, Chosin, and Kala. They come home after the wedding. Kala turns to Chosin and says, Tipas dam kechar do reiti, I saw a spot of blood. He turns away, she turns away. Love is great. Passion is drawing one to another. But no. There's a hedge of roses. There's a containment. There's a tzimtzum, a drawing back. Rashi brings the fellow who's walking on the road. He stretches out his hand to take a beautiful fruit from a tree that's hanging over onto the road. And there's a voice that tells him, no, you can't. You can't. It's not yours. The Rabbeinu Shem, in order to create the world, had to practice a self-control, a self-containment. That's what he expects of Klal Yisrael. Where do we conduct ourselves with tzimtzum? The whole Shulchan Aruch. What I may do and what I may not do. Shabbos, Yom Tov, Devachim, I have to do this now and I have to do that then, and I'm not allowed to do that, then I can't do the next thing.
our lives are in great measure, our lives are directed and guided by a Shulchan Aruch. And that Shulchan Aruch means that we are not capable of just doing whatever we want to do or saying whatever we want to say. No, there are limitations. There are siyagim. There are gedarim. There's a mishmeret. There's a tzimtzum with which I have to conduct myself. That's fruta number one, first penny. Penny number two, the Rav says that the Rebbein Shem conducts himself in this world. He is anonymous. He is humble. Great artist finishes a canvas, signs his name down at the bottom. The Rebbein Shem created a whole universe. His name isn't there. He's in concealment. Yosef b'seser elyon. God is in concealment. Vanochi hastir astir. I'm going to be in concealment. I'm going to be hidden. When he appears to Moshe, the snake says, Zeshmi lo olam v'zeh zichri l'dovado. This is my name into eternity. And Rashi points out over there that lo olam is spelled without a vav between the ayin and the lamed, so that it should be understood not only lo olam forever, but olam. Olam meaning hidden, concealed, anonymous. The Rebbein Shem conducts himself in that way in this world. He doesn't appear at every turn in history. No, we're not going to see him. We're not going to see him until the end of history, until the great day comes. Until then, he is in concealment. What the Rebbein Shem requires of the Jew is a sense of humility and anonymity. The key to all human relationships. Rebbe and Talmud, husband and wife, parents and children, you name it. The health of that relationship will always depend on the extent to which there is a sense of humility, and I don't have to get my way all the time. I don't have to be the one whom the whole world is going to know about. The idea of humility is that which creates a healthy, strong relationship. God said there were 120 members of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, 120 members. How many of those 120 can we name? We know the last one, Shimon HaTzadik. We know Ezra. We know Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Mordechai was a member of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Beyond that, we don't know who they were. It wasn't important to them. And it wasn't important to Klal Yisrael. It wasn't important. They had a job to do, and their job was to transmit Torah to the next generation, rebuild Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael after Churban. That was their job, and the job was most important, and that's it. You do the job, and you pass on. That's it. Humility and anonymity. Humility and anonymity. The Rav had an uncle who, when a sefer was written with a biography of a certain government in Israel, he didn't want to take it into the house. I'm not interested in the day he was born, the day he was died, what he ate for breakfast. That doesn't interest me. The Gadol Yisrael didn't do what they did so that somebody should write a book about them, and all Jewish children should learn afterwards the day they were born and the day they died. Mitaka don't know the day that Rashi was born, because he wasn't Rashi when he was born. You know when he was Rashi? It was Rashi when he died. And then his Talmidim write precisely the day of the week and the day of the month that Mohenu was taken from us. It's a powerful, powerful few lines that are written by his students to mark Chof Tes Tammuz in 1105. So the Rav says, the second Pruta, the Rebbein Shem conducts himself in anonymity and in humility. That's what he expects of man. The third, and maybe the third is the most difficult of them all.
Mi chomocha be'elim Hashem, who is like you amongst the mighty ones? So the Gemara says, Mi chomocha be'elim Hashem, Mi chomocha, who is like you, bo'ilmim, in the silent ones. The Rishon is silent. The Rishon doesn't demand at every step, why did you do that aveira? Why didn't you do that mitzvah? He maintains silence. The day will come. Silence. Says it's extremely important for the Jew to learn the significance and the importance of silence. Jews have learned you don't ask questions on the Rebbein Shalom. You don't ask questions for which you know you're never going to get an answer. Where was God then? Where was God the next time? Why did he let this happen? We don't ask such questions. You know what our response to tragedy is? It's one response. A bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Dayan HaEmet, the true judge. That's how we respond to tragedy. We don't ask the philosophical questions, Rebbein Shem, Vivis Degvein, what did you do? We don't want the Rebbein Shem to question us about our conduct. We don't question his conduct. The Jew has the strength and the power of maintaining a dignified and holy silence. Dayan Emes, that's it. That's it. Family comes home from having buried a loved one in its Erev Pesach in the afternoon. People crowd into the house. They sit shiver for about an hour. And then the halacha says, you better take off your torn garments, shower, wash yourself, put on yontif clothing. You're going to shul to fulfill the mitzvah of samachta b'chagecha. You're going to say hallel. How difficult that is. How difficult that is. It's most probably one of the most difficult scenarios of them all. But the Jew knows to maintain silence. Famous story with the Netziv Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin of Volozhin. It was in the yeshiva, it was the beginning of Shavuos, and he was singing and dancing with the Bachim. Somebody comes running in with a telegram, gives him a cable, he reads it, puts it into his jacket pocket, continues dancing. 2 days Yom Tov, then as soon as they finish saying Havdalah in the yeshiva, he bursts out into tears. The cable had said that a younger sister of his had died suddenly. But Yontif was Yontif. He read it on Yontif, folded it up, he put it into his jacket. Yontif, the Samachta v'chagecha. Oh boy, does that take awesome strength. The third pruta is the ability to remain silent, not to ask questions, the kind of questions you know that you're not going to get an answer. All that Klal Yisrael has done is Siduk Hadin. The Rebbein Shel Olam, we accept his judgment. These are the three prutas. The Jew conducts himself this way, the way the Rebbein Shel Olam does. He has the right to enjoy his whole personality and everything that he is. That's the Chol. I want to explain the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos on the basis of this statement of the Chol. This Shir. Take a look. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. In the subtle Yeshua, Moshe received Torah at Sinai and he gave it to Yeshua. The Yeshua was a Canaan. Yeshua passed it on to the elders. The elders passed it on to the prophets. The prophets passed it on to the Anshei Knesset HaGadola. Heim Amru Shlosha Devarim. They said three things. Have a mitunim bedin. Be careful in judgment. Don't pass judgment hastily. The simple shot, of course, is they're setting up a new system of justice. Reuven and Shimon have a dispute over 1,000 shekel. Don't rush to judgment. Think it out well. Second thing is the hamidu talmidim. Harbe, you have to
establish and teach many students. You have to make a fence around the law. This is the mission. And number two, on your sheet, I have the famous Gemara. Famous Gemara. You know, I'll just tell you the Gemara. The Gemara says the following. I know about parody. Loma Nikru Shimon, why were they called Amshe Knesset HaGdolah, the men of the great assembly? Unusual name for a Bezdin or a Sanhedrin. So the Gemara answers, you know why? Because Hechazidu Atorah LeYoshna. They are the ones who returned the crown to its original glory. What crown are we talking about? Moshe in Torah describes the Ribbono Shel Olam as Hokel, HaGadol, HaGibor, VaHanora. The big, the mighty, and the awesome God. Also Yirmiyahu, along came Yirmiyahu. And in chapter 32 in Yirmiyahu, he prays, and he says, here are goyim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Where is Nora Otav? Where is the fierceness, the awesomeness of God? Lo Omar Nora. He didn't say Nora. In his prayer in chapter 32, he describes God as Okel HaGadol HaGibor. Not Nora. Afterward comes Daniel, and Daniel, in chapter 9 of Daniel, he prays, and he says to himself, they, Jews, are enslaved in this exile over here. Where is the Gevura, the might of God? Lo Amar Gibor, he did not describe God as Gibor. Also, inhu, along came the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, and they composed the Shmona Esrei, in which they describe God as Hakel, HaGadol, HaGibor, VaHanora. And they said, you know what is the Gevura of God? That he's able to control himself and not destroy the evil of this world. And do you know where you see the awesomeness of God? Hey, Uma Achas, how one nation is able to survive in a sea of hatred. Klal Yisrael, survival is an indication that the revelation is awesome. So therefore, they returned the crown to its original glory. Moshe is the one who had described God as Okel, HaGadol, HaGibor, HaNora. They wrote the Shmona Esrei, and that's the way they described the revelation. Then the Gemara asks a very beautiful question. The Rabbanan, Yirmiyahu, and Daniel, Moshe had already said Okel, HaGadol, HaGibor, HaNora. How does Yirmiyahu leave out Nora? Who gave him the right? How does Daniel leave out Gibor? So the Lozah says in the Gemara, at the end of the Gemara, he says, because they knew that the Ribbono Shel Olam is amiti, he's all truth. Lefichach, therefore, lo kizbu bo, they didn't lie to him. And on the side you have the Rashi over there, the last two lines of the Rashi. Shehu amiti, maskim al ha'emet v'sonei et ha'sheker, God agrees to truth and he hates falsehood. Yirmiyahu doesn't feel that God is Nora. He can't. So what should he do? Yeah, I'll say it anyway. It's not true. He knows and God knows that he can't say Nora. You know what? So don't say it. Daniel can't describe God as Gibor. In other words, one doesn't have to say that in Auschwitz I saw the Noros of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not so. That was awesome Chilul Hashem. Question that I once asked on this Gemara is, does it mean that Anshei Knesset HaGadolah were greater than Yirmiyahu and Daniel? Certainly not. Yirmiyahu and Daniel were greater. Why was it that the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah were able to see what Yirmiyahu and Daniel couldn't see? The answer is simple. They lived in a different time period. The Anshei Knesset HaGadolah are in Yerushalayim when Jews are coming back. The walls of Yerushalayim have been rebuilt. Foundations have been laid for the Beis HaMikdash. A whole new commonwealth. A rebirth of Klal Yisrael. Then you can see the Ribbono Shel Olam as Kel HaGadol HaGibor VaHanora. They weren't greater than Yirmiyahu and Daniel. They had a different historic perspective, and that's why they were able to say it. I always say the confusion of our time is, while Yirmiyahu lived in one time frame, and Daniel lived in a different time frame, and Anshei Knesset HaGedola lived in yet a third time frame, we lived in all three in one time frame. And for that matter, if you want to condense it, we lived it in 3 years, from 1945 to 1948. Churban like Yirmiyahu didn't see. Galus like Daniel didn't know of. And for that matter, a Tekumah of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, far, far greater than the beginnings of the second Beis HaMikdash. So it's a little confusing when you live in such turbulent times. What did Anshei Knesset HaGedola say? What I'm going to do now, pay in advance, right now what I'm going to do. I'm going to say that the three statements made by the Anshei Knesset HaGedola correspond to another three and yet another three. The three statements have a metunim badin, ha'amidu tamidim harbe, v'asus yod l'torah, will correspond to the three descriptions of the Vavenishim, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagivor, v'hanora. You know what else it's going to correspond to? The three prutos that the Rav spoke about. And watch. I wrote it in on the side, down at the bottom. The Hevei Metunim Badin. Hevei Metunim Badin. Hevei Metunim Badin, to be careful, patient, in passing judgment. Anshei Knesset HaGedola are not only talking about Reuven and Shimon, who have a dispute about 100 shekel, and they say, listen, be careful before you pass them. They are making a far more powerful statement. Be careful before you pass judgment on Jewish history. There were those who said at the time of the Churban and afterwards, it's all over. Yecheskel described those who said, Ovda tikvotenu, all hope is lost. Nigzarnulon, we've cut out of history. It's all over. Curtains coming down on Jewish history. Take it easy. Be careful before you pass judgment on history. Havei metunim badin. Because whatever you're going to say is going to make a great difference as to how people conduct themselves. You're going to tell them that we're finished. They'll act like we're finished. But we're never finished. You have to be able, just like a beautiful painting, you have to be able to look at it from the distance in order to assess it. One of our great tragedies is we have so many people who are being paid to make instant analysis about everything that's happening and give instant judgment every day with all of the narishkeit that we read and we hear and we see. Everybody knows everything and nobody knew a thing yesterday. And most probably everything that they say today is going to be, what do you do with yesterday's newspaper? You wrap fish in it, you understand? Havei metunim badin. You have to be careful. I remember in the United States in the 50s that said that orthodoxy was finished. It was the period of the great growth of the conservative movement. It was considered the decade or the two decades of the edifice complex. Big, big, huge synagogues were going up in suburbia all over. And what was the orthodoxy? Hey, Pushtiblach over there, Gunish Megunish. 50 years later, the prophets of doom, the strength of Yiddishkeit is all of the Orthodox community. I'll prove it to you. Trust me, without fail. I've been watching it for 30 years. Israel is at war. There will have to be a picture, full color, big, front page of the Haaretz,
front page of the Jerusalem Post, a tank, ammunition, 4 or 5 chayalim with talis and tefillin davening. It's the only way they can show the whole world out there that this is a Jewish army. There's no other way. There's no other way. And they feel the need to show that. You're not going to be able to show that this is a Jewish army with a conservative or reform young man. You can only show it with a good Yiddish bacher who you understand with his talis and tefillin davening. So before you're passing up that we're finished, be very, very careful. There were those, of course, who said that all of Jewry was finished following the Second World War. It was all over. It was all over. The few that remain are simply going to disappear. Who could have believed that 3 years later this bedraggled remnant was going to be reborn in a state? Do our Jews have to learn this? Anshe Knesset HaGadola said, "Havei metunim badin." Be very careful before you pass any kind of historic judgment. You know what you have to do? When you see terrible things happening in Jewish history, maintain silence. You can say Baruch Dayan Emes, that's it. But don't pass judgment. Don't make decisions. Don't come up with your great analysis. In Hevei Metunim Badin, do you know what Anshe Knesset HaGdola was saying? That Hevei Metunim Badin incorporates within it the description of God as no ra. How do we know that God is silent? Micha mocha bo elim Hashem, who is like you amongst the silent ones, ilmim. What's the rest of that pasuk? Micha mocha bo elim Hashem, micha mocha nedar bakodesh nora. In God's silence, what comes to the fore is His awesomeness. What did the Gemara say about God's awesomeness? What did Anshe Knesset HaGadola say? If Ummah Achas, this one Ummah, is able to survive amongst all the nations of the world, that's Nora. That's Hevei Metunim Badin. Don't cast enough that the Jewish people are finished. It's all over. Nonsense! The Rebbeinu is Nora. Second, Ha'amidu Talmidim Harbe. What did we say one of the personality traits of the Rebbeinu is that he is humble? The Rebbeinu lives in anonymity. Anshe Knesset HaGadola, we don't know their names. A Rebbe, the great Rebbe who teaches his students, must be endowed with that humility. In a sense, I'm not important, but to pass on Torah to the next generation, that's what's important. I may remain anonymous. Nobody has to know about me. That was the Rebbeinu Shem. Who was the greatest Rebbe of Klal Yisrael? Moshe Rabbeinu. And what was Moshe? Onov Ma'od, Mikol Ha'odom. The most humble of all men on the face of this earth. Which one of the three descriptions of the Rebbeinu Shem? Gadol, Gibor, Nora. Which one talks of his humility? Sayher will be there, the great Gemara, number 3. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Bechol matom shata motzei gedulato shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Wherever you find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is great, you know what you find right next to it? Shamata motzei, there you're going to find Am Vetanuto, his humility. Davar said, this is written in Torah. It's a second time in the Nevi'im, a third time in Ksuvim, Kosov Batorah. Here you'll see the passage. In Torah it says, Ki Hashem Elokechem Hu Elohehu Elohim, God your God is the God of all gods, Vadonei Ha'adonim, and the master of all masters. Hakeil, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanorah. This is Moshe Rabbeinu describing the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Hashelo Yisoponim Elo Yikach Shochad. Uktiv Batrein, you know what it says after this description of the awesomeness and the might and the strength of God? Osem Mishpat Yatom Valmana. You know what that dimension does? His great humility. He's Godol, but wherever Torah, Nevi'im, Uksufim talk about God being Godol, they tell us that the dimension is humble. You know what he's involved with? To do justice to the orphan and for the widow
Ve'ohev ger, and he loves the stranger to give him bread and clothing. I'll take you to the next one. In the Nevi'im, it says, Ki ko Aron v'nisa, this is from the Haftorah of Yom Kippur. So says Ron v'nisa, the one who is raised and exalted. Shochein ad, the kadosh, the one who dwells forever and is holy. Maron v'kadosh eskon. God is high and holy. And you know what it says right afterwards in that Haftorah? V'edako shval ruach. You know where God is? God is with those who are broken, those who are lowly, lahachiyot ruach shvolim, to give life to those who feel low, ulahachiyot leiv nitkeim. The Rebbeinu Shlomim is in the miklatim in the tzafon. The Rebbeinu Shlomim is in Sderot. That's where the Rebbeinu Shlomim is. So which word is it that speaks of God's humility? Gadol. And where is his humility expressed by Anshei Knesset HaGdola HaAmidu Talmidim HaRbe? The only way that you are going to raise a generation of students is only one way. The Rebbe has to be completely dedicated and devoted to the task. His own personality doesn't matter. By the way, Anshei Knesset HaGdola are talking from their historic experience when they say, don't pass judgment on Jewish history. And you know what we have to do after the terrible destruction? We have to rebuild Torah. We have to begin by rebuilding Torah. We have to create great centers of Torah again. Hamidu Talmidim Arbe. And the third thing they said is, Asu Siyag La Torah. Make a Siyag La Torah. What is Siyag La Torah? The Tzimtzum, contraction, the wall around, withdrawal. What represents, which description of the Gemara speaks of his ability to contain himself? What did the Anshei Knesset HaGdola say? Where do we see the strength of God? That he's kovesh. He's able to conquer himself and not destroy evil immediately. Ezehu gibar hakovesh et yitzro. The one who is able to control himself. So you know what we've done now? Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibov, Hanora. By the way, I notice only now that going backwards, Asu Siyag La Torah is Gibor, Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, is Gadol, Heve Mitunim Badin is Nora. What I'm saying is that Anshei Knesset HaGdola, who described the Rebbeinu Shlomo as Gadol, Gibor, and Nora, the Gadol, Gibor, and Nora represent the three, so to speak, faces or personality traits of the Rebbeinu Shlomo that are described by the Rav. The idea of tzimtzum, contraction, anonymity and humility, and ultimately the ability to remain silent. All of those great characteristics of the Rebbeinu Shlomo are expressed in the words Gadol, Gibor, and Nora. And that's the way Anshei Knesset HaGdola rebuilt the Second Commonwealth. So I say, the Shir of the Rav gave me the ability to take his insights and put them here into the Mishnah. And that's really all that Rabbi Akiva was talking about. Rabbi Akiva was the great practitioner of all of these ideas. Chovav Adam Shenivra Bitzelem, beloved is man who's created in the image of God. The image of God is all of these faces, so to speak, of the Rebbeinu Shlomo. All of these aspects of his character, kivyachol, are supposed to be that which guides the Jew throughout all time. We survive, because we know that there's a time to build, and there's a time to remain silent, and there's a time to place a fence around Klal Yisrael so that we can continue to grow. Yehi Ratzon that the hostilities or the war will end quickly, you know, but it should not end before what has to be done will be done. That can't happen. So I hope that our leadership will have wisdom to do what has to be done, and the Rebbeinu Shlomo will watch over every one of our chayalim and our and our people are there. We should have Yeshuas and Nechamas. My Shver always used to say, Mishenichnas Av, when Av enters, Mematin Besimcha, you know, you're supposed to diminish joy. So he was a Chassidish Yid, my Shver. So he used to say, Mematin, you're supposed to diminish, but whatever you do has to be Besimcha. A Yid has to know, everything has to be Besimcha. Okay.